This week on the podcast, we will be looking at the problem of Gnosticism and the extent to which it has invaded Christian fundamentalism. Gnosticism, if you're not familiar with the term, is an ancient pagan system of beliefs. It invaded the early Christian church almost right from the start, and I have even run across a few historians who insist that Gnosticism was actually present in some of the subcults of the Jewish tradition. In any case, Gnosticism has always been with us, and it has been held at bay when Christians have strenuously combated it by resorting to God's word for what God's word actually says. So, to start this discussion, we have to drop back a few centuries, not to Gnosticism itself, but to the great antithesis of Gnosticism, the Christian concept of the conscience. When was the last time you heard a sermon or a lesson about conscience? For me, it has been decades. And these days, when I hear people, even fundamentalist preachers, make any reference to conscience, they reveal a gross ignorance about conscience. For example, when the current Iraq war was in its early stages, a gang of Islamic jihadists kidnapped an American contractor in Iraq and beheaded him on camera. This, of course, was brutal and horrifying. The next day, on the Fighting Fundamentalist forums, a pastor posted that he hated these people and wanted them dead. He added that he could not help this response, as that was what he strongly believed, i.e., that is what his conscience said was right for him to conclude, even in opposition to God's word. Jeff Owens, who I admit is a simpleton and entirely unfit to hold church office, declared from the pulpit that he mailed goose dung to evangelist Robert Sumner. This was when Robert Sumner published the first article calling Jack Hiles to account for alienating the affections of a wife from her husband. Owen's excuse for his actions, apart from the obvious desire to brag about it to an auditorium full of teenagers, was that Hiles was his pastor and he was loyal to Hiles. In other words, somehow this was okay to do. Conscience would allow it. Most people, even Christians, think that conscience is an inner sense of right and wrong, which I guess is true enough as far as it goes. But many people believe that this inner sense of right and wrong is somehow infallible simply by virtue of being what it is. In other words, many people, including many Christian fundamentalist preachers, believe that if you sincerely think something is right or wrong, and you think it or feel it passionately enough, then for you it is right or wrong as you think and feel. And furthermore, if you act on this strongly sincere and passionate inner conclusion, you are not guilty of sin, even if what you do is condemned as sin in Scripture. Somehow you're excused, or your responsibility is at least mitigated because you are acting under this so-called conscience. And that point of view is wrong, and that point of view actually has roots in Gnostic thought. That is not what conscience is. Biblical Christianity does not define conscience as an inner light that flares up to give us infallible direction of right and wrong with no prior training or preparation. People who dismiss the authority of the Bible believe that. Mystics believe it. It's a very popular idea in the New Age. They call it your own personal truth. But biblical Christianity believes that there is one truth given to man for faith and practice, and that one truth is the Bible. The first person in the Christian tradition to map out what conscience is was Thomas Aquinas. He took Paul's words in Romans about the law written on the heart and tried to lay out just what that statement means and implies in terms of our responsibility to do good. And Aquinas' first statement was not really about conscience, but about one of the tools with which conscience works, even its bedrock, and that is synderesis, a moral first principle that exists in every person. Aquinas asserted that every human being begins life with a basic knowledge of moral first principles. This is not the same thing as inner light, for Aquinas was talking about a mechanism of reason, and he was not talking about anything that changes or grows. Synderesis is an innate sense of right and wrong about the most foundational moral truths in the universe, that God exists and deserves to be worshipped, that murder is wrong, that stealing is wrong, and so on. Synderesis doesn't expand or become more informed in and of itself. In many ways, it's a set of basic premises hard-coded into us. In other ways, it's the capacity given to us to form conscience, and conscience is the agency in us that develops, expands, and grows. What's important to understand is that Aquinas made a distinction between this inborn, innate knowledge of right and wrong that God bequeaths to us as creatures in his image versus our capacity to make morally good choices and perform morally upright actions. We all get the same law written on our hearts, but the degree of sensitivity we have to that and the degree to which we develop our minds and morals in accordance with that remains external to synderesis itself. Synderesis is not conscience and it's not inner light. John Locke once declared that we are born as blank slates. Well, Aquinas was declaring that we're not blank slates. We all get certain basic moral premises stamped upon us. Synderesis is a basic, even primitive, first step in the development of our adult sense of right and wrong. And remember, from what Paul wrote in Romans, the Gentiles were condemned because they were born with the law written on their hearts and they disobeyed it. What we do with synderesis, if we twist our perspective on it, or try to coerce it to be something other than what was given to us, or if we ignore it or fail to work on it, we are culpable.